Welcome to NFP for Life with Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. Dr. Ruppersberger is a board-certified OBGYN with an NFP-only practice in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. He and his wife, Betty, are both certified natural family planning instructors for the Family Life Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And now, here are your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM and 1420 AM. This is Dr. Les Ruppersberger along with Betty Ruppersberger bringing you NFP for Life. And as always, Betty will open with a prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill my heart with your holy gifts. Assist me in all the trials of life. Enlighten me in my ignorance. Advise me in my doubts. Strengthen my weaknesses. Help me in all needs and embarrassment. Protect me in temptations, and console me in all afflictions. Graciously hear me, O Holy Spirit, and pour your light into my heart, my soul, and my mind. Assist me to live a holy life and to grow in goodness and grace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Betty and I have decided on a slightly different format than anything we've done previously, and that is that we're going to do a mock conversation between someone who accepts the teachings of the Catholic Church and someone who objects to some or all the teachings of the Catholic Church. This particular conversation is going to be specifically referable to contraception and the question, what's wrong with contraception anyway? This is a conversation that was played out in This Rock magazine several years ago, but more than likely very close to the conversation that may take place on any given day of the week between both Catholics and non-Catholics discussing this particular topic. And we felt that it was extremely appropriate to bring this conversation to the program on the 50th anniversary of the pill. So Betty has decided to choose the objector side of the conversation. And so those of you who may come in the middle and hear her saying things that sound like they're against the teachings of the church, it's because it's part of the script. And she has allowed me to participate as the believer in the teachings of the church. We will ad lib some of the questions as we go along and other questions come to our mind, but we think this will be quite revealing as to what the teachings of the church are. So Betty, why don't you start off with your...
Well, what's wrong with contraception anyway? It seems to me that the Catholic Church is way out of date in its opposition to contraception. In the United States, contraception's been used widely since 1960. Why is the church so backward on this issue?
Well, the church believes that truth does not depend on being up with the times. Although we come to recognize truth at specific moments in history, the truth discovered is itself not subject to changing times. The use of contraception violates human dignity because it purposely cuts off our reproductive powers, which are a part of our humanity. When God created man and woman and the two become one in Genesis, he gave us a commandment to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth so that we get created with powers that allow us to participate in the co-creative powers of God through the Holy Spirit to bring new lives into the world, which will be with us for all of eternity.
Well, that doesn't make any sense to me. How could the use of contraceptives endanger our humanity?
To a person who's grown up within a contraceptive culture, it may seem that contraceptives not only do not hurt human beings, but actually help them. But the church sees this issue with a larger perspective. Every culture that has used contraceptives and infanticide, such as the Romans, has devalued children and with them all of humanity.
Well, that may be, but oral contraception are much safer than methods used in the ancient times, so your argument from history doesn't hold water. Contraception has made for safer sex.
We could argue long and hard about the societal effects of modern contraception, but let me point out just one. Would you say that more people are having sex outside marriage today than 40 years ago or less?
Well, definitely more. But that's not a bad thing. And that's one more reason that we need contraception, because they reduce the risk of unwanted pregnancies and other undesirable effects.
The church, along with many other thoughtful people, has another solution to the problem of unwanted pregnancy and sexually transmitted disease. In fact, it proves to be 100% effective when followed diligently.
Oh, you mean abstinence? That just shows again that the outmoded thinking of the church. Now, I would even go further and say that it shows how inhumane the church is. Does it really affect young people who experience strong sexual urges to practice abstinence? How impractical.
I find that view of young people demeaning. It says basically that they are not capable of controlling themselves, much like other animals in nature. We believe that human beings are capable of rising above their primal urges for a higher purpose. The church believes that young people have the potential to live lives of purity if that ideal is set before them.
What higher purpose? You mean not having sex?
No, I don't mean that at all. I mean having sex in the proper context of marriage. The church believes, in accord with the broader Judeo-Christian heritage, that sexual activity outside of marriage is always an abuse of our sexuality. In addition, sexual activity without the commitment of marriage lessens the special character of marriage and retards the formation of solid, lifelong marriages. When God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, the sixth commandment was, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Adultery is defined by the Catechism of the Catholic Church as having sexual activity with someone to whom you're not married. If a married person has that sexual activity with anyone outside their marriage, they are committing adultery. If two unmarried people have that sexual activity outside of marriage, they are committing fornication. Both of these are violations of the sixth commandment and therefore against the desires of God's design for human sexuality. I'm not sure exactly why it is that people would not understand that particular commandment.
Well, I think experience with sex prior to marriage may enhance marriage once people enter into it.
Statistics really don't bear that out. There are studies that show that couples who have refrained from sex before marriage have a greater chance of holding their marriage together than those who don't. The divorce rate is higher among those who have engaged in sex prior to marriage. Right now, we have a 53% divorce rate in our society. In 1960, when the pill came on the market, the divorce rate was only 5%. As you follow the graphs over the past 50 years that the pill's been on the market in the United States, you can see that there is a direct correlation between the rise or the slope of the use of the contraceptive products and the increase in divorce rate. Additionally, couples who cohabit prior to marriage, and usually that involves engaging in sexual activity, have an 85% higher chance of getting a divorce than couples that do not cohabit. So the statistics do not bear out what you say. And finally, we have an epidemic of sexually transmitted infections in this country, with 19 million new cases of STDs every year, including one in four teenagers. I wouldn't necessarily say that that's safer sex.
Well, I don't know if that is true, but it's not the business of anyone beside the couple whether they engage in sex prior to marriage or use contraception. If I understand the Catholic Church teaching correctly, it says that even the use of contraception in marriage is morally wrong. Isn't that right?
That's absolutely correct. Contraceptives separate the unitive and the procreative aspects of the marital relationship. They thwart our reproductive powers and deny one of the basic purposes of sex in marriage, which is the procreation of children. When God created man and woman and gave them that commandment to be fruitful and multiply, he did not allow or give them the option that they could be intimate together with each other in the context of preventing that fruitfulness. In addition, there are times of a woman's cycle when women are naturally infertile, and the church allows for the use of those naturally infertile times for family planning purposes. Catholic Church does not expect people to have unlimited numbers of children. They teach that couples should use responsible parenthood in evaluating how many children may come into their marital relationship. Right now, we have an epidemic of babies being born out of wedlock, with the most recent statistics revealing that over 41% of all pregnancies in the United States are born to couples that are not married.
Well, the number of children a couple chooses to have is their choice, not the church's.
That's absolutely correct, and you do have free will, and it is your choice, but your responsibility for parenthood is primarily to God first, and he who gave you the creative powers to be able to have children, and then to your spouse, and then to your children, and then to society. It seems that we've completely reversed that responsibility role, and that we call into issues of too many people in the world, not enough resources to take care of those people. And so, yes, you do have your choice, but you're called to responsible parenthood and make that choice within the context of what's good for each other and what God wants for you within his plan.
But it seems to me to be precisely the issue. Who decides whether the use of contraception is right or wrong? Certainly not a bunch of celibate men who don't have to deal with responsibilities of raising children.
You have focused on the process, on the who of the decision, but that doesn't answer the question of the what or the why. That is, whether the use of contraception is morally right. Let's talk about the substantive issue of the morality of using contraceptives.
Okay. I say that it's a good thing that people use contraception because it helps them act responsibly in bearing children.
I'm glad that you brought up the issue of responsible parenthood. As I mentioned previously, and taken from the encyclical of Humanae Vitae issued by Pope Paul VI in 1968, the Church said that being responsible parents is at the heart of the issue of contraception. Catholics believe that we should encourage responsible sexuality, especially among young people. Responsible use of sexuality means refraining from sexual activity until one is ready for a lifelong commitment of marriage and the raising of children. For the same reason, the Church says that a married couple acts morally only when they're open to and ready for children. The creative aspects of human sexuality always incorporate one of babies and bonding, one of life and love, what the encyclical in the Church refers to as the unitive and the procreative. And they are naturally inherent in the created reproductive powers given to humans. And as such, there is no circumstance under which they can be separated. So the Catholic Church teaches that every act of marital embrace, every act of intimacy, must be open to love and life.
But it seems to me to be an argument for using contraception in marriage. A couple can enjoy sex in marriage without the fear of pregnancy until they're ready to have children. Isn't that being a responsible parent?
Let's distinguish between two very different exercises of responsible parenthood. One is the attempt to negate one's reproductive powers by introducing an artificial means to prevent pregnancy. The other is the decision to space out the births of children in light of the total factors that are taken into consideration, such as the economic, physical, psychological, social, and spiritual development of children and those factors that are involved in that marital decision.
But I don't see any substantial differences between these two. If it's okay to engage in sex outside the fertile period, when we know that contraception cannot occur, then why isn't it all right to use contraception to achieve the same purpose? It seems to me that a Catholic couple could use the infertile period to enjoy sex while preventing pregnancy.
That is possible. If a couple engages in sex with the intention of preventing pregnancy without just cause, then their motives are wrong. They've misused their sexual powers. But because sex is also for the closer union of husband and wife, they may engage in sex outside the fertile period as long as they don't attempt to prevent pregnancy by interfering with how their bodies are supposed to work. A perfect example of this is in a menopausally reproductive couple who are beyond the years where they may be able to reproduce at all, and yet they're still permitted and called to love one another and come together so that the two become one. They still may be emotionally, mentally, and spiritually open to life, even though biologically they can no longer reproduce. And this does not negate the holiness or the sacredness of the sexual embrace.
Well, I don't see any major difference. Whether they use natural or artificial methods, the result is still the same.
But we have to ask ourselves, what makes an action moral or immoral? Motivation is one factor, as are results. But these are not the only factors to take into account. Even if the motives of the couples using contraceptives and those not using them are similar, and that is not having babies, and of course judging motives is a very tricky business, we still have a great difference in the objective methods being used.
What difference does that make? If I allow my body to heal from a bacterial infection by riding it out or choose to use penicillin to speed up the healing process, I'm achieving the same end?
Your analogy is misguided. Using medicine to achieve health is attempting to restore the body to its natural state. Using contraception is against the natural functions of the body. As is commonly said, the pill tricks the woman's body into thinking that it's already pregnant. Fertility is not a disease. A bacterial infection is a disease. Fertility does not threaten anyone's life. A bacterial infection could potentially threaten someone's life. So the end does not justify the means.
Whether a couple wants to get pregnant is a matter of choice. It's not a natural function of the body.
With that statement, you have put yourself in the position of one who is denying the obvious. The male and female bodies are designed specifically for reproduction. That is so obvious as to be undeniable. If you look at the male and female biology and you think about the creative aspects of God's intended creation, God could create children any way he would like, but he chose to be able to create males and give them a germ cell that could be, through the biology and anatomy of the male and the female, come together with the germ cell of the woman within her body, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring into existence a new life that will be carried through the uterus of the woman throughout the pregnancy until she delivers and brings that child into the world. There is no other function and there is no other purpose for the reproductive system of the male and the female.
Well, that's true in general, but getting pregnant in a specific instance is a matter of choice.
I would have to disagree with you with that. Pregnancy is not a matter of choice. Engaging in sex is a matter of choice, but pregnancy is not. It's a matter of a natural process once one engages in sex. In sexual morality, the crucial distinction is between working with the natural structures and function of the body or working against them. A married person is obligated to follow the moral standards implied in that state of life. The church's teaching is not out of date. Rather, not using contraceptives is valid for all times because marriage is always ordered toward raising children, in addition to other purposes. Even cultures that have not been influenced by Christianity directly recognize this. They have seen it in the natural law, that is, the morality implied in the natural state of things. Sex leads to children. We act morally when we engage in sex with the intention of working with the natural process. The Catholic view advocates what is best for the human race because it encourages us to use our sexuality responsibly for the promotion of the human race.
I want to tell our listeners that you are listening to Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 and 1420 AM. And you've just heard a little back and forth discussion about people who object to contraception and the church's reasoning on contraception. So we just want to give you a little taste and a little dose of how culturally a lot of people will fight this battle back and forth. And as we're listening to most of this and reciting most of this, one of the things that came to my mind is the Ten Commandments. And so many of us, you know, we don't think about the Ten Commandments, but this is a commandment of God to not have sex outside of marriage. And it is epidemic in our culture. Before contraception, most people would refrain from having sexual activity outside of marriage or even within a marriage if they weren't ready to have a child. And since the contraceptive pill came into effect, that whole mentality has changed. It's actually given women license and men license to have sex outside of marriage because they don't fear the pregnancy. But they're not taking responsibility for their actions. The responsibility to another person, the responsibility to that person that they're having sexual activity with as regarding sexually transmitted diseases, the using of another person, not for love, but for pleasure, and the heartache that comes from this, the health issues, and societally, just the way that people are, we're disposable and we're not really for true love for one another. And I just think it's so sad that culturally our culture has come to this. So we're talking about contraception versus natural family planning, but we really want to bring all this sexuality and couplehood always should be within a marriage and never, ever outside of a marriage because it's against the sixth commandment. We're not to have sex outside of marriage. And people will poo-poo us and say, well, yeah, that's right, but...
Well, one of the things that we're taught in evangelization is to try to meet people where they are. And one of the last things that anyone wants to hear in any of these conversations is any kind of moral statement from somebody else. Mm-hmm. If you quote the catechism, if you quote the commandments, if you quote any biblical reference, if you quote any church teaching from any church anywhere, people will argue, well, that's your opinion, that's that church, that's that writer, that's that whatever. And it seems that because of the absence of prayer and the absence of God in school and in society, that nobody really wants to pay attention to what God thinks about things. But you could make all of the arguments against contraception based on common sense, logic, reason, health, economics, social. There's nothing good in any one of those areas that has come out of all of the sexual behavior that has been propagated within the last 50 years. It's not that fornication and adultery didn't exist 2,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago. It's not that infanticide didn't exist. It's not that there weren't contraceptives available to people that long ago. It's been around forever. Mm-hmm. Ever since the garden, ever since the fall, ever since human nature became tainted by sin and by the tendency towards sin and by temptation, it has always been there. The problem is that there used to be a stigma in society. There used to be a cultural feeling, if you will, in society that said that certain things were wrong and certain things were just not acceptable. And if you did do them, you didn't want to get caught and you didn't want anybody to know about it.
You didn't want it to be public.
But now, Everybody wants to get caught. Everybody wants to know everybody is doing it. And these teenagers, who are the dominant ones, although certainly more mature people engage in sexual activity outside of marriage, but these teenagers are the dominant ones that are wearing it like it's a badge of courage.
But on the other hand, they're bombarded with the culture on radio and TV and music videos that it's perfectly acceptable. And the sad part for me is that they don't realize they're trying to keep up with their peers. They think it's acceptable and they need, if they're not doing it, they don't feel accepted. But on the one hand, it's very self-centered in some ways. And also in other ways, people are so selfish to use another person for their own pleasure, especially outside of marriage. It's not right. It's just doesn't make much sense. But I was amused by the comment here. It says, certainly not a bunch of celibate males who don't have to deal with responsibility of raising children have a right to tell someone that they should not be contracepting. Well, I have a comment about the priest's position on this. The priest have a right to speak to couples about contraception, because that's their job. They have committed their lives to teach people about God, about the rules of the church, about the catechism. This is the teaching of the church, and yes, they have a right to guide us and teach us and help us understand why the church is against this and make us understand that this is a good, not a bad, not an evil. It's a good thing to not practice contraception. It's a good thing to be in a marital covenant. It's a good. And those people that are living outside of all that, they have to be guided and led, because it's the priest's responsibility to help guide us. They're going to have to answer to God. How many people did you bring to the faith? How many people did you help? How many people did you help understand the teachings of the church and God's rules? So it's not about celibate men telling us what to do. It's telling us why the church teaches this.
What would you say to people, specifically if a priest were sitting here and he turned around and said, look, I sit down and I read the scripture every week and I prayerfully review what it is that I want to say in my 12-minute homily at Mass on Sunday, and speaking against contraception never comes to me in my mind, and I fear that if I speak that out to a mixed congregation that I'm going to offend and chase away people with my fire and brimstone homily against contraception.
Well, I don't know necessarily that we have to be so harsh. It's not, and I've always said this to you, it's not what we say, it's how we say it. And if a priest has difficulty blending this in their homily, There are other opportunities, most especially with youth groups, most especially with pre-Cana groups, people that are coming to them and meeting with them during their engagement period. This needs to be said at that time. And they need to understand that it is a teaching of the church and that contraception is wrong. And it's sinful.
But you know as well as I that when you and I and other couples, and we go to a lot of pre-Canas throughout the year,
absolutely,
speak about this topic and bring up the topic that contraception is not acceptable, that living together in cohabitation is not acceptable. One of the biggest criticisms that we get back in the evaluation forms is that we don't appreciate the doctor and his wife criticizing our lifestyle and trying to push their beliefs on us. Mm-hmm. We'll do what we want to do. And so it doesn't matter. It seems to me that it doesn't matter how gentle or how polite or how kind you can be when you sit there and say that contraception is wrong, contraception is not acceptable, contraception is not good, contraception is not healthy, contraception, you know, you can pick any word you want, but when you're saying it to a couple who's contracepting, you're indirectly criticizing their choice.
It's true. And I think that instead of feeling attacked, we have to have an approach that we're educating. And sometimes I would like to turn the table and ask them personal questions about, well, why are you doing this? Is he your only partner?
Well, let's do that little scenario. So you're going to ask me, I'm a male in pre-Cana. I'm sitting next to my fiance. We're going to get married in 4 months. We live together and we're having sexual activity and my fiance is on the pill and you're going to ask me, why we're in.
Well, first of all, why are you living together?
Because it's more convenient. We got involved in a relationship where we were going out for a while. We fell in love. We decided we were going to get married. We wanted to be together all the time. We wanted to see what it would be like to be together. We were living in two separate apartments, paying two separate rents and two separate utilities, and we thought that it would be more economical if we just got together so we could save the money for marriage and move into one apartment and live together.
Well, since you're living together, who in the partnership are you taking contraception?
I'm not, but my fiance is, and she goes to a gynecologist who's board certified, and she went in and told him that she was interested in using something for contraception, and he prescribed the pill and gave it to her, and she's been on it for a year and a half, and she's doing great.
And how do you feel as a man? Do you think you should have any responsibility towards that, or do you help pay for it?
I don't think about it, and it's covered by her health insurance, and we never really needed to discuss it beyond the fact that when we were getting together for the first time intimately, and that I asked her if everything was taken care of, and she said, yeah, I've been on the pill for a month, so we're okay.
So your concept of having sexual activity outside of marriage only has to do with pleasure?
For now. Wasn't interested in having a baby, and so we love each other, we care about each other, we wanted to express that love to each other in a way that couples do express that love and intimacy, and we do enjoy being together, and we do enjoy being with one another in that way, and we feel comfortable and very free with the idea that we won't get pregnant and that we won't have a baby until we're ready.
How do your parents feel about that?
It's none of their business, and I've never discussed it with them, and I would assume that if I did have that conversation with them, they would probably tell me that they're not happy with the fact that we're living together.
So it doesn't really matter to you that you're disappointing anyone?
It matters that I disappoint someone, but what matters more is my relationship with the woman that's going to be my wife And there comes a point in time when you have to grow up and leave home and leave your parents and live your own life. So my parents gave me the best of what they had to offer as far as education and morals and ethics. And now I need to go out and live my life and make my own choices. And if they're disappointed in what I do, I mean, if I got a job at a company and they didn't like, you know, the job that I was doing, they thought that I was going to be an artist and I'm a plumber and they're disappointed in it because I was such a great artist when I was a kid. Well, if I want to be a plumber, then that's what I want to do.
Well, since you share intimacy, sexual intimacy with each other, do you share other things? Like, do you have a joint checking account or do you share in the bills or is it just one of your responsibility?
We each have our own checking accounts and we each have our own credit card accounts, but we opened the third account that, we both chip into and we pay, the combined expenses out of that third account. And we plan on continuing that after we get married. And it seems to work out pretty well. We both chip in half and half. She works, I work. She has her money. I have my money. And we chip in for the combined money, and it works out fine.
Well, it sounds like it's just happy, 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 happy times. Why would you want to get married?
We're mostly getting married because that's the expectation, and we're getting married in the church because our parents expect us to, because they're Catholic, and they raised us Catholic. Besides, my fiance really loves my parish because it'll make really great wedding pictures and it'll make my mother happy. Even though she's not happy about us living together, it'll make her happy.
Do you ever feel uncomfortable about the fact that you've been living together for a long period of time and now you're going to have a big wedding in a white dress and make it like, you know, it's all new and beautiful?
No, not at all. That's what everybody does, and all of my friends, you know, lived together before they got married, and they had big weddings, and I've been in a lot of their weddings, and I've been to their receptions, and all their family's there, and everybody's happy, and they're all getting gifts, and, you know, it's not a problem. There's no embarrassment or no shame, as far as I'm concerned, with respect to that. It just seems to me to be a natural, logical progression.
Do you attend church with your fiance?
Once in a while, maybe on the holidays, but not on a regular basis.
Does that bother you?
Not really. I'm pretty comfortable. I pray once in a while, and we go to church a couple of times a year, and I have my own personal relationship with God, and I feel, you know, like I'm a moral person and I'm a good person, so I feel like I'm, you know, I'm doing okay.
Well, since you were raised Catholic, do you feel that you're doing anything wrong by not going to Mass?
I know that that's what the church teaches, but I'm not so sure that that's what I really need to do. And I'm really busy and I do a lot of traveling and, sometimes I'm just really tired and I just really don't feel like getting up and going out, you know, to church on the weekends because I'm working hard all week and we're both busy and we just like to sleep in and lay around and have a nice breakfast and, you know.
Do you like to do any special activities together, like sports or anything like that?
We go work out, we run, we jog, we exercise, we go to an athletic club.
And what days of the week do you go there?
It varies depending on you know, when we're free, but usually probably, you know, Sunday mornings, a couple nights a week, but mostly Sunday mornings.
So you would rather work out than go to Mass with the person that you love. Is that right?
Yeah, you could say that, but I feel like, you know, we're still being together. We're still spending time together, and I can even pray while I'm working out. And I don't need to go to a special building to do that. I can pray and talk to God anywhere I go, anytime I want.
Regardless of your family, this is only to emphasize your fiance. Why are you marrying this person?
Because I love her, and I want to spend the rest of my life with her.
Any other reason?
Do I need another reason?
What do you think the main purpose of marriage is?
to mutually be best friends with each other and help one another through life and support one another and travel life's journey together and love one another and be happy.
Have you ever talked about children?
We've discussed it on and off occasionally. I'm an only child. She's got three brothers and sisters, and so she has more kids in her family than I do mine. I've thought my life growing up as an only child was fine, so I don't really feature on having a lot of kids, but I know that she wants to have more than me. But we'll work that out as time goes along. We'll see after we have one what it's like, and then we'll decide whether or not we can handle others based on how that impacts our lifestyle and our economics and our finances and what we can afford to do and stuff like that.
I know this is a way out question, but have you ever thought about your fertility, if you have fertility or not?
Of course. I assume that I'm fertile. Why would I not be fertile? I've never had an illness or a surgery or anything like that. I would automatically assume that I'm fertile and have good fertility. That's why we contracept. I don't want her getting pregnant.
And do you think she has good fertility?
I don't see any reason why she shouldn't. She goes for checkups and sees the gynecologist and everything's fine, and she gets those things, pap smears or something like that, and the doctor gives her the pill and says, your checkup's fine, so I don't see any reason why she would have any trouble getting pregnant.
So you don't know your fertility, and she doesn't know her fertility. Doesn't that concern you in some way?
No, I just told you that I think I do know my fertility. I think that I'm fertile, and I think that she's fertile, and we're just putting it aside, and we'll use it when we get to the point where we need it or where we want to exercise having a child.
Do you know anything about eggs and sperm?
I kind of heard a little bit about it in high school biology. I majored in political science and minored in economics in college, and I have a job with the government now, so it really doesn't come up that often. But I heard a little bit about it, but I don't know like any scientific details about it. I mean, I know where they come from and what they are, and that's what makes a baby, but beyond that, no.
Well, NFP, you could learn about your fertility.
What's NFP?
NFP is Natural Family Planning.
What the heck is that?
It's fertility awareness, and it helps you to understand your cycle. Do you know how often a woman ovulates every month?
I don't know, once or twice a month? I don't know.
And what about a man? How often is he fertile on a monthly basis?
I guess all the time.
So you're not real sure about the female side, though?
Well, that's her thing. That's her job to know her body and know what's going on. And I know mine, and then when the time comes, we'll get together and decide what we need to decide. Let me go another. Why are you asking me about this natural family planning? I never heard of it before. I went to Catholic grade school and Catholic high school, and I went to Mass on and off when I was in college and a little bit in my 20s, and I'm 25 now. So I never heard about natural family planning before. Like, what's that about?
Well, natural family planning is a method to understand your fertility without using any contraception whatsoever. No pills, no devices, no nothing. And it's free. It costs nothing. It's so easy to use. And you learn about your fertility, if you're fertile or if you're not. And that way, you can live your life without worrying about hormonal contraception. Did you know that the birth control pill could cause breast cancer and blood clots and all kinds of health issues?
No. Wouldn't my fiance's doctor tell her that? I never heard that. I never read that in the paper. I never saw that on TV.
Possibly she wouldn't hear it from her doctor, but it would be in her birth control pack, the instructions inside the birth control pack. It's written right there in black and white. Would that bother you if she got a health issue from taking the pill?
It would bother me a lot because I really love her and I wouldn't want her to do anything that hurts her or harms her, but I always thought that they were safe and I always thought that they were healthy, and doctors prescribe them to young women all the time. And I know that there are a lot of drug companies out there that make them, and we hear about it all the time, and ever since I've grown up, I've always known that there was a pill that you could take that could prevent pregnancy and you could have sex safely, so I never heard of anybody dying or getting a blood clot or anything like that, so it never really dawned on me that there would be any issues associated with it.
Well, there could be. How would you like to find out a natural way to postpone a pregnancy and have a healthy choice and have a healthy way to understand your fertility and know when you're fertile and when you're not, and if you want to have a baby, to help you achieve that?
So you mean I could use NFP now instead of my fiancé being on the pill?
Well, really, NFP should be used within a marriage, and if you're engaged to be married, you really should abstain and be abstinent until your wedding.
Well, that's ridiculous. Nobody does that. Do you know anybody that's abstaining from sexual activity when they're engaged to be married?
Well, matter of fact, I do. And it's a healthy, loving way to treat your partner.
Well, I think that my fiancé and I are pretty healthy, and I think we love each other, and I think that, you know, we're doing okay, and we're happily preparing for our wedding, and, you know, we're pretty prepared and know each other. And besides, what's the difference between using NFP and using the pill? If you don't want to have a baby, you don't want to have a baby.
If you don't want to have a baby, then abstinence is the way to go during your fertile phase. And if you don't know your fertile phase, you wouldn't know when to abstain. But sex outside of marriage is really against the sixth commandment. Do you know that?
I heard those commandments when I was growing up in grade school and high school, but I think that they're only guidelines, and we get free will, and who out there is paying any attention to any of that anyhow? They've pretty much thrown out a lot of that stuff, and sometimes I think that the interpretation goes a little bit overboard, and the church tries to get a little bit too involved in our personal lives.
Why do you feel so offensive, so on the offense against the church, or defense, actually, I should say, against the church telling you what you can and cannot do? Why does that bother you so
much? Because it seems like all their teachings are against the way I want to live my life. You know, like if I want to be rich and if I want to be healthy and if I want to have a nice house and if I want to sleep in or go work out on a Sunday morning, or if I want to live with my fiance, or if I want to, you know, have intimacy or sex with me, my fiance before marriage, the church, or if I want my fiance or she wants to be on contraception, it seems like the church says no to every one of those things. No, 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 no. And I don't want the church. So if it seems like I'm being defensive about it, it's because I'm choosing a lifestyle that the church doesn't agree with.
Do you feel a little guilty?
Not really.
No?
Should I?
Well, I feel, obviously, there's got to be a little something there that bothers you, or you wouldn't be so argumentative about the whole process. And don't you think it's the church's responsibility to guide us, to help us to understand the commandments and the catechism if we want it, or if we're going to be a member of the church? And by the way, are you a member of a church? Are you registered in a parish?
Well, we're registered. My fiance is registered in the parish where we're going to get married, and I'm not registered. We live in an apartment, and like I said, we normally don't go to church a lot. So if we go to a church, like for the holidays to go to Mass, we either go to my parents' church or go to her parents' church, but we're going to get married in her parents' church, and her parents are registered in that church. But we don't live in those parishes.
Well, for someone that doesn't go to church and doesn't participate in anything at the church, why would they be so defensive against the teachings of the church?
Well, it's one of the reasons I don't go, because I don't agree with what the church teaches. And I think that, you know, they are guidelines, and I think that they can teach what they want to teach, but it seems to me that they get a little bit too involved in the personal lives of people and trying to tell them what to do. And I don't think I'm a bad person. I work hard. I have a degree. I've never been in jail. I'm not on drugs. And I'm going to get married, and I'll be married soon. And hopefully someday I'll be a father and raise children. And I'll probably start going back to church then, because I want my kids to know a religion and a church. But between now and then, I'm okay with what I do.
Do you have a personal relationship with God?
Know who he is, and I say prayers every now and then. And like I said, I go to church a couple of times a year, so I guess that's a personal relationship.
Well, now that you're at Pre-Cana, and we understand where you're coming from, we'd like to give you our point of view and help you to understand where we're coming from, so that not so much to judge, but to educate, and allow you to understand why the church teaches what they do. Do you know that there's a wonderful book by John Paul II called Theology of the Body? Have you ever heard of that?
No, I've never heard of that. When did it come out?
2000, I think it came out. And it's a wonderful reading, a whole book, but there's all kinds of tapes and lectures all about it. There's even a Theology of the Body of the Theology of the Body Institute, and it's teaching us about our lives, our bodies, and why we're here on this earth, and how we're going to leave this earth someday, and that we want to get to God and our greater glory and the glory of heaven in our, at the end of time, in our bodies, and we're going to have our bodies back and to respect our bodies. But for those that are listening, you're listening to NFP for Life, Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 and 1420 AM, Betty and Les Ruppersberger, and we're discussing, we're bantering back and forth about what's it like to speak about the teachings of the church, and what is it like to be aggravated by the teachings of the church, and trying to get this message across, because I'm sure that a lot of our listeners hear these comments from their family members and such. And we just want you to know that this is a wonderful teaching of the church. It's a good, and it's healthy, and it's loving, and it's caring, and it promotes family life. It promotes marriages, it strengthens marriages, and it's a wonderful gift that our church has given us. And we want people to get the message, and we want you to understand what we're talking about here.
And a lot of the language that I was using when Betty and I were having the conversation, and we kind of switched roles, and she became the Catholic Church acceptor, and I became the objector. But Betty and I have been doing Pre-Cana for the last probably 10 years, give or take. And we go around the city and do it at a lot of parishes. And these are the kinds of answers and the kinds of conversation that we're constantly getting back from the couples. These are the answers. These are the responses. And sometimes you feel like you don't know who you're dealing with. Sometimes you feel like you're fighting a totally uphill battle. Sometimes you wonder what kind of catechesis that children are getting in Catholic schools these days. And the majority of kids don't really go to a Catholic school, and even the ones that do, even in our parish, Betty and I have to go over and teach the eighth grade class the sixth and ninth commandment on chastity and abstinence, because the teachers are not comfortable, and they need somebody that needs to come in from the outside that's going to make a one-shot hit and run and leave the information. And we get 2.5 hours with the boys and 2.5 hours with the girls on a one-shot deal to come in and talk about these issues and try to reverse cultural issues. And Let me just make one comment, and Betty, I want you to comment on this, and I know you know the answer. That's why I'm going to ask you the question. A little earlier, you made the comment that there's so much pressure on kids and so much cultural influence in music and video and everything that they see and everything that they hear. So where would they hear the opposite message? Where should they get the right message from? Where would they hear the opposite message from?
Well, the number one person they should hear it from are their parents.
And is that happening?
Well, it seems like it's not. And unfortunately, there are so many children that are living in a single-parent household that it's overwhelming for a single parent. And I just feel that, you know, it's just one less thing that they're getting led by. And they're not being led by example. So we have to, I don't know what the real answer is and how to fix it or could it be fixed. But people have to understand that they're not acting responsibly. Adults are not, or young teens are not acting responsibly by having sex outside of marriage. It's not a responsible act. It's a selfish, it's a off the cuff, it's a passionate kind of act, and then maybe with a lot of regret. And if you are, you know, if teens are sexually active, they have an opportunity to turn that around and start acting responsibly.
Well, I think that you're right in that it is irresponsible, but then you can turn around and say, but when teenagers are trying to rebel against responsibility and they're trying to rebel against authority, you know, staying out late is one thing, and maybe having a few beers and drinking is something else, and exceeding the speed limit in dad's car may be another thing if you don't get caught. But the most dangerous and the most risky and the most pleasurable irresponsible act would be to engage in sexual activity with whoever I happen to be hanging out with at that particular point in time. And because there's no stigma against it and nothing that embarrasses people or shames people, that's what the kids go for. And I think that whether you have one parent or whether you have two, the message has to be constant. I think that parents, and as we wind down here to the last 3 minutes, we want to wrap it up with just finishing off our conversation and be aware that this entire program was a back and forth debate over what's wrong with contraception and some of the issues revolving around contraception. And we want to finish up by saying that the parents have the primary responsibility of being educators of their children, whether it's one or both. And so it is upon the parents' head and responsibility to find out what out there is safe for their children and be telling their children constantly, regardless of what they're hearing from the culture over and over again, what's right and what's wrong in their particular opinion. We also need to hear it from the pulpit. We need to hear it from our priests. We need to hear it from our deacons. We need to hear it in our schools. We need to hear it from our teachers. We need to hear it in every area of society. We need to be as loud on one side as the cultural noise is on the other side in bombarding our kids with this constant input of noise and information that is saying to them, you know, it reminds me. It reminds me of the picture of the guy trying to make a decision. On one shoulder is his guardian angel, and on the other shoulder is the devil. And his guardian angel saying, no, you don't want to do that. Your mother and father told you it wasn't right. And the priest said it wasn't right. And you learned that in the commandments. And then Satan's on the other side saying, don't you want to be cool? Don't you want to be like Rick or Joe or Bob or Tim or Mary or whatever? Don't you want to be in on the in crowd? Go ahead. Nobody's going to know. Nothing's going to happen. Everything will be fine. You'll have a good time. Believe me, you'll enjoy it. That's what they don't want you to have fun. They don't want you to do it. And I see this debate going on in these kids' minds all the time. So I hope you enjoyed our program today. It was a slightly different format. I hope you got some information out of it. If you have any questions or comments, please go to holyspiritradio.org. And I'll give Betty the final word if she has anything in the last 30 seconds, and then we'll close with a prayer.
I pray that people understand the teachings of the church and come to understand it and know it as a good and not an inconvenience.
So we'll close with a Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Have a great weekend, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. God bless.